Wensley Clarkson's been on the show loads of times. His books have been published across the world and sold more than 2 million copies. He's worked on numerous television documentaries in the UK, US, and of course, here in Spain as well. And I'm delighted to welcome Wensley back to the show. Morning, sir.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you. Got a bit of a different one, this for you. The Real Silent Witnesses, the kind of story behind the real people and not the TV show.
Yeah, I think the TV show Silent Witness has been such an extraordinary success. I think it's one of the longest running TV shows in worldwide television history, let alone UK and Europe. And but I need to understand and perhaps find out more about the real stories behind it and what influenced it and how forensics in general have evolved in the 25 years since the programme first started.
Absolutely. And if for people who've not looked into the real forensic science, if they watch something like Casualty, for example, on the TV, they assume that everything is like that in the real world. Is it the same with Silent Witness? Are they fairly accurate?
They're accurate from a technical standpoint, but I think the biggest omission in terms of the difference between the reality and the drama is that they tend to solve their crimes very quickly and very neatly.
Yeah.
And as any police and forensic officer will tell you, it can take months, sometimes years. And that often doesn't work from a TV drama standpoint. So you tend to get a much more simple investigative storyline.
Yeah.
And I think, again, in my book, I outline this and I explain, and not just explain, but go through all the events that occur before some crimes even get close to being solved.
I imagine that the breakthrough, really, in forensic science was DNA and how advanced we have now become in identifying things from DNA. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, DNA is without doubt the biggest breakthrough in forensic science ever. It has made the entire process of investigating murders in particular completely different. However, it must be said here and now that it has its faults. And funny enough, in America, surprise, surprise, the chaotic country that we talk about so much at the moment, there have been instances where DNA has been incorrectly used to prosecute people who've ended up on death row. And this doesn't necessarily mean that it was deliberately done, but the sheer size of America and the number of people arrested and charged with murder has meant that sometimes DNA has been wrongly used. And by that, I mean it's been incorrectly analysed. And this has happened a lot in America. It's probably happened in other countries, but like everything in the world, America does it all in a much bigger scale.
And is it also fair to say, Wensley, that DNA is something that it doesn't have to have been taken last week? They're reopening cases because they've been able to advance the technology to the point where they can now use DNA samples that they couldn't use before.
Well, I don't know how many of your listeners have watched ITV's Pembrokeshire Murders this week.
Yeah.
But that was a classic example, and it is highlighted and mentioned in some depth in my book, that particular case, because those murders occurred before DNA was invented. Then a policeman who'd been away working for another police force came back to Pembrokeshire, reopened it, and used DNA to prove who the killer was. So in answer to your question, without being too graphic, you can dig a body up and find the DNA, even if that body was put in a cemetery 30 or 40 or 50 years ago.
Forensic science has advanced a lot, and whenever I see programmes which are kind of mimicking what they do in the real world, it's kind of mind-boggling. One that I was a particular fan of, and I don't know whether most Brits watched it, but it was huge in America, that was Dexter. Fairly gruesome, but he was what they call a blood spatter analyst, and he would be able to work out the most extraordinary detail, or those people in the real world, by just looking at where the blood was around a room. Quite amazing.
Well, the incredible thing about Dexter and the real versions of Dexter is that when I lived in LA in the 90s and dealt with a lot of murders there as a journalist and true crime writer, the blood splatter, the art of blood splatter, if you want to call it that, was something that policemen, forensic scientists, took great pride in, because you can literally tell the way that the drops of blood have landed on a wall or a ceiling or a door, how they've come to be there, what particular, in some cases, what instrument, what weapon was used because of the amount of blood splatter. And it's a never-ending, extraordinary art form. And I hate to call it that, but it really is.
Yeah.
Because that those blood splatter marks are often almost as important as fingerprints when it comes to working out who someone, who the murderer was.
Amazing.
And that is a very good issue to bring up, because it's obviously separate from DNA and all the other issues in forensic science. I think that people need to understand, and I'm going to tell you a little Spanish anecdote now.
Yeah.
Because in Spain, where I lived for a long time, I've investigated many murders. A particularly well-known British criminal called Charlie Wilson, who was a great train robber, was murdered in the garden of his house in Marbella back in the early 90s, and by a hitman who went over the wall into his garden. Now, back then, and I'm not just highlighting Spain, but forensic science was really not used enough, and often police forces couldn't afford the cost of having forensic scientists on their payroll. And in the case of that, that's an unsolved murder from more than 30 years ago. And when I went to see the file, the forensic file on that murder, 10 years after it happened, it consisted of one piece of paper in a file at the police station in Marbella.
Wow.
So things have changed a lot since then. And I only use that as an anecdote because it tells us how it's changed. If that murder had occurred now in Marbella, I can assure you there would be a massive file just on the forensic part of that.
Quite incredible. And I imagine it's also changed the way that the first on the scene have to behave. I imagine years ago the police would the first people there would enter the building and they'd maybe move stuff around. They'd maybe put their fingerprints on things. Now they can't do that because that's contaminating the evidence.
Yes, there's another good series on that's just started on Netflix called Night Stalker, which is about a notorious LA serial killer in the 80s. Just before DNA came along. And in that case, the main detectives would turn up, who were investigating this series of killings, at a scene of a crime and find that dozens of policemen and ambulance men and even undertakers had trampled over the murder scene to such an extent that they had what they call infected that murder scene with evidence that wasn't evidence. It was actually it had been brought there by strangers who'd gone to that scene after the murder was committed. And those sort of issues used to cause incredible confusion and definitely hold up the ability of police to solve murders. These days, the moment a murder occurs, by rights, it should be roped off and no one should be allowed on that side apart from the forensics and the lead investigators.
When it comes to trial, in the old ways, trials were weigh up the evidence and decide whether the jury thought the person was guilty or not. But I imagine that's changed dramatically with forensics, where they say, look, this is the answer, take it or leave it.
Yes, well, we're into the great subject of science, the science versus the emotion, if you want to call it that, which, of course, COVID and the entire pandemic crisis has highlighted probably more than anything else, where we have the scientists versus the politicians deciding on what's going to happen to us. In a way, it's the same with forensics when it comes to murders. But the difference now is that the forensic officers, and this is brilliantly highlighted in the drama Silent Witness, they really do work alongside the police. In the old days, the forensics were seen as the mad scientists who had daft ideas that weren't often correct, and the police ignored them a lot. That's not the case now. They have to take notice, and to be frank, I think 70% of a murder investigation revolves around forensics. They are the ones who find not just the clues, not just the hints, but the actual facts that will help the police bring a murderer to justice.
And so there is a new breed, and I've spoken to some forensic scientists, and they're not people who were plodding the beat 5 years and then suddenly became forensic scientists or investigators. There's quite a long path, and it's real science, isn't it? They can't just turn up and make it all up.
Well, they're not former policemen, very rarely anyway. Yeah. They are trained scientists mostly. And most police forces now, certainly throughout Europe, have separate forensic departments, obviously, and they're manned by not just scientists, but also civilians who apply to be forensic officers as opposed to police officers in the normally accepted term of the word.
Yeah.
So it's a separate entity, and rightly so. But as I just said, in Silent Witness, the drama, one of the best and most accurate parts of that show is that the police and the scientists now do work together. And it's very important to make this point, because in the old days they didn't.
Are there many more things to be discovered that will help them even further than great breakthroughs like DNA? Is the science still evolving, I guess, is my question, and what kind of pace is it evolving at?
The science is still evolving, and I hate to go back to the least favourite subject of anybody's, which is the pandemic, but I do believe that a lot of the work that's been done on developing inoculations against COVID, et cetera, which we've heard so much about in the last 12 months, has probably been helping develop other scientific breakthroughs, including further forensic testing, which I don't know that much about because I'm not a scientist, but I've been assured by one scientist I know there are a number of new things on the cusp of being used, which will make the job of the police and the forensic scientists even easier. But you still can't get away from DNA. DNA was the big, big breakthrough. That was the thing that told us that each of us had our own individual fingerprint inside our body. It would never be the same as anywhere else. And that's the big thing. That's what really matters.
And in your book, The Real Silent Witnesses, you talk to experts who have worked on these crime scenes, and you examine real-life stories where forensics have played a crucial role. Must be rather a lot of those. Must have been tricky to pick some.
It is tricky. And, some have been involved in cold cases being reopened. Some go back to the original cases. What I've done in the book is really highlight some of the most notorious cases going back 50 years in some cases, which have eventually been solved thanks to new forensic science techniques. But it's very important to go back to some of the crimes that were never solved to understand how forensics didn't work back then, because that then helps the forensics of today to not make the same mistakes.
Is there a kind of pecking order of who's really good at forensic science in Europe? I know it's all changed now because of Brexit, but for example, some specialists are better in some countries at doing certain things, or are they all fairly on a par?
It's a bit predictable what I'm about to say, but I have to say it, and that is Britain, Germany, probably the two, and Holland to a certain degree, but because they're more scientifically weighted in terms of their societies and the development of pharmaceuticals and everything else that's related to science, I guess they are the bigger players. But it would be and Sweden as well. But, it's unfair, because really we should all be working together on this. Mm. And all these developments should be pooled between every country in the world to help prevent crime.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure as always to talk to you. Brilliant book, The Real Silent Witnesses. Wensley Clarkson, nice to have you on the show as always. And you take care of yourself,
Brilliant.
Sir. All the best. Cheers,
Thanks
Wensley.
Very much. Take care.
Take care. Bye bye.
TRE.radio.